Welcome back to Public Address Radio on Radio Live. Ever wondered when you sit down to a meal of fresh snapper just where that fillet's been before it reached you? And I don't mean Seamart or your mate's boat, but where that little fishy friend frolicked in its short life. No, me neither, but fortunately for us and our future fish docs, Dr. Darren Parsons from NIWA has made it his business to find out. He joins us now. Darren, thank you so much for coming along. So you're the snapper man. Is that going to be your title in New Zealand now?
I don't know. Dr. Snapper, maybe?
Because, of course, there's the squid man.
Yeah.
You know,
everyone knows Steve
O'Shea.
That's
right. And you're sort of the cuter version of him.
Oh, whatever you want to call me. I'm sure it'll be fine.
Tell me how you began studying snapper.
Well, I started out with a master's degree at the Lee Marine Lab through the University of Auckland way back in about 2000. And I did some pretty similar stuff to this, what's been in this media release. We were putting acoustic tags in snapper. And this work's been kind of a follow-up from that.
Yeah. What essentially is an acoustic tag?
An acoustic tag has a little battery in it, and it makes a sound that you can't hear with your ear, but travels through the water. And we have receivers that we put out, and they log those sounds. And the sounds like have a little bit of Morse kind of code in them, and that allows us to identify each individual fish. So the receivers just kind of log when they've heard it, and from that across multiple receivers, we can figure out exactly where that fish was.
Cool. So what's the point? Because there are a lot of snapper out there. I mean, I've done some damage this summer, but I still don't think I've really touched the sides when it comes to snapper population. How many do you tag, and how many are running around there with your tags in them?
So with the acoustic tags, this time we tagged about 40 snapper, 20 inside the Marine Reserve at Lee and 20 outside. We'd like to tag more, but it's quite labour intensive. We have to do a surgery, catch a fish, and then do an individual surgery.
Really?
Yeah. So we anaesthetise the fish first, insert the tag, and then suture up the wound, let the fish recover, and then release it. So it takes quite a bit of time. And the tags are also expensive. They're about $600 US each. So we get around that, in that we also use a cheaper method of tagging, just little plastic streamer tags or dart tags. They're only about a dollar each. So we were able to put out about 10,000 of those back in 2006, 2007. But the downside of them is that we need a fisherman to catch them and ring up the phone number on the tag for us to get any information back. And then we only get the point of release where we caught it and then the point of recapture where the fisherman caught it. So much less data, but over a larger number of fish.
Has that turned out quite interesting results in terms of, you know, snapper being caught hundreds of kilometres away, that sort of thing?
Yeah. Some of them have moved quite substantial distance. So we had one fish, for example, that moved from the Hauraki Gulf out around Coromandel through the Bay of Plenty and all the way down to almost Gisborne. So that's about 420 kilometres. So that's quite a way. Most of them, though, stay pretty close to home, especially if they were caught on shallow reefy areas. On average, being caught about 800 metres from where we let them go, so really stay put.
Because that is the traditional thinking, isn't it? I was going to say, this is the traditional thinking with snappers, that they sort of go in and out a bit, but they mostly just go between two areas. Is that right?
You kind of. You're pretty much there. Like, fishermen have kind of two theories about what snapper do. So we've got
fishermen have got a lot of theories, let's just say that.
And often what we do as scientists just proves what fishermen already knew, just kind of confirms it with some more rigorous methods. So the two types of fish that you might hear fishermen talking about will be your kind of kelpie or reefy snapper. It's often got darker colour and blunt teeth, and it lives on the reef, and they stay there year-round. And then the other type, which they call schoolies, move into the Hauraki Gulf, say, which is a spawning area every year, so kind of flood into the Hauraki Gulf, and then in autumn kind of head out to deeper water.
Right.
And that's exactly what we found with those dart tags, that the ones we released in the slightly deeper water over areas of soft sediment, those fish moved on average about 10 to 20 kilometres versus the 800 metres for the fish from the reef.
What have you learned about the Marine Reserve? Obviously, the Lee Laboratory where you're based is a Marine Reserve. I've been diving around there. There's lots of big old snapper there. It's great. The thinking is that these are great nurseries, effectively, and the fish then, once they're bred there, move out to further afield where they can be caught recreationally and commercially. Is that happening? Is that what you learned?
We weren't specifically investigating the effect of the Marine Reserve on the fisheries outside. There's a lot of work that goes into that, but it's really difficult to tease those things apart from all the other factors in the environment.
Were the fish that were tagged in the reserve staying in the reserve, though?
Yeah, largely the snapper we tagged inside the reserve stayed inside the reserve, and
Is that because they were reef fish, so they would have traditionally stayed in that small area rather than a whole lot of fish going, hey, if we stay here, no one's catching us?
Exactly, yeah. They are the reef fish. The reserve was put there because it was a reef. It was attractive in the first place back in the 1970s. But we did compare the movements of the reef fish that were within the reserve to reef fish which were outside the reserve, and there was, on top of that difference between reef fish and soft sediment fish, there was another scale of residency that we saw for the fish.
Scale.
Flash words. another scale of residency for fish that were within the reserve, and that their home ranges were about half the length of the snapper that we tagged outside the reserve.
That may also perhaps have been because there was more food in the reserve, so they didn't have to travel as far to look for stuff. It's almost a self-perpetuating cycle.
Yeah, exactly. There definitely could be more food in the reserve, and that would be a good reason to not move as far. If you don't need to, why would you bother? But when you think about it, all that a reserve does is it stops fishing pressure. So the things that are going to respond to a reserve are going to be those things which are exploited or fished. So we know that at Lee, for example, snapper and crayfish respond really well to that level of protection, and their abundance has increased within the reserve. So then we've got a whole lot of animals competing with each other for a food source. And what we didn't investigate in this study, which is well established at Lee, is that all those competitors, the crayfish and the snapper, actually eat a lot more food on the reef. One of the main items being the sea urchin or kinner. And without that herbivore, the sea urchin there on the reef, the kelp populations within the reserve have flourished and come back. So in terms of is there more food in the reserve, it could actually be the opposite. Because there's all these fish there, there might actually be less in the reserve.
Less food for the fish.
Exactly. I mean, we haven't specifically investigated that in this study, but in terms of an explanation as to why the fish is staying so put in that one place, I probably don't think it's food abundance. Another explanation might be that because there's so many other competitors, if you're another snapper, you don't really want to bump into one and risk having an aggressive interaction, so you might restrict your movements so that you don't have that chance. So that's also an explanation, but whatever we're looking at, it's probably some aspect of the environment or some aspect of the selective force that fishing may impose outside of the reserve which is causing the fish to stay put.
Just getting back to the kinner for a second, so this is interesting to me, because sometimes when you go diving you see an awful lot of kinner and not much else. So the kinner clear out the kelp and the marine, you know, the vegetation.
Yeah.
And if they're not eaten by the snapper, who eat them, is that right?
Yeah.
Snapper eat the kinner, then obviously they flourish and
yeah, okay. There's a specific habitat type, it's called urchin barrens, and if you dive in northeastern New Zealand between a certain depth band, that's on a rocky reef, that's pretty much what you'll see. So just bare rock, it's got layer of pink algae, but largely grazed down and not much of the bigger kelps. Whereas in the reserve, that area is covered by kelp.
Yeah, interesting. Because I was around Waiheke and stuff, you can find a lot of these urchin barrens, they're called.
Yep.
Interesting. And as someone that doesn't really eat kinner, I don't know about you, Radar, but...
I've eaten a fair share of
kinner
in my time.
Do you like it?
Wow.
I always wonder whether I should bring some back for someone, but I don't really know anyone that wants some. Do you eat kinner?
I do like kinner, actually. Right, it's delicious.
Good to know, Darren. You might be in luck next time we go diving. One thing that interests me if we can talk science for a moment here, from a scientific point of view, I don't know if it's a scientific theorem, but Schrodinger's cat, is that what it's called?
Sorry?
About the cat in the box. You know the old analogy about the cat in the box, and you don't know whether it's dead or not until you open the box.
Yeah,
basically, it's a theory that says if you by your very nature of observing something, you can alter the way it behaves.
Yes.
By plucking snapper out of the ocean, cutting them open, inserting probes in them, sealing them back up again, making them until they recuperate, and then releasing them, is that possible that could alter their behaviour at all?
Oh, definitely, yeah.
Because it would alter my behaviour pretty quickly, I reckon, if that happened to me.
It's a risk of any tagging studies, but unfortunately there's no real way around it. But because we're making a comparison to the fish outside the reserve are also undergoing that same procedure, hopefully their behaviour would be modified in the same way. So that's one aspect of science, is just always making sure that your treatments are consistent.
So what's the ultimate sort of point of it all, you know, to know how far snapper goes so that you can, if numbers are depleted, you say, well, if we keep this area clear for a while, we know that those snapper aren't going to travel there, or, you know, what exactly is it?
With my research, it's more trying to understand the behaviour of the fish, and that information can then help us or help fishery managers at, say, the Ministry of Fisheries, the Department of Conservation, in terms of Department of Conservation might be interested in putting in new reserves, say, in the future. They can specifically design them around an exploited species like snapper, knowing the movement behaviour. I mean, one thing that we found out in this study is that fish from the slightly deeper soft sediment areas move over a larger area. So if we wanted to put a reserve in an area like that, we'd need to make a reserve in a location like that probably a bit bigger to encompass the fish to provide them protection.
And any indication of numbers?
You know, yeah, I was going to say, are we running out? Should I be guilty about my recreational fishing?
Not what I've been researching at the moment, but on the East Coast, which is the fishery called Snapper One, the signs are generally, since the quota management system was introduced in the 1980s, that there has been a recovery in the snapper population, yeah.
Well, that's good news for all of us, I think, for so many summers to come. Thank you so much for your time this afternoon.
Oh, thank you very much for having me here.
That's Dr. Darren Parsons from NIWA, and if you've found one of those snappers with a tag in it, call 0800 RING NIWA. After the break, TVNZ's new channel, You.